Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lauges. Today we're talking about Chicago-made rock and roll, vintage rock and roll from the 1960s. Tomorrow is the Cornerstones of Rock show at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. I'm going to have Tom Duty of the Crying Shames joining us a little later in the program. But first up, I've got Jim Peterick, singer, songwriter, guitarist of the Ides of March. And the best way to introduce him is by letting the music do the talking with a number one single the Ides put out back in 1970. You'll know this one. Feel free to sing along. Jim Peterick joins us on the other side to talk about Cornerstones.
Stranger in the black sedan, oh, won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love you, love you. I need you, need you. I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love. A movie star, I think I'll take you to Hollywood. But if you wanna stay just like you are, you know I think you really should. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love ya, I need ya, I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love.
From 1970, a song that went to number one and one you will be hearing tomorrow at Arcata Theater for the Cornerstones of Rock show. That, of course, is Vehicle. And joining us now is the friendly stranger in the black sedan, the guy that wrote it, the guy that sang it, Jim Peterick. He's also the guy that came up with the idea for Cornerstones. So let's find out more about this show. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Okay, Tom, fire away.
You're a big part of the Chicago music scene and always have been. And I respect the fact that you didn't really relocate like so many other of our famous native sons. You have stayed right here in the Chicago market your whole life. And you are indeed a cornerstone of Chicago rock. And that is the title of this series of shows that you are doing with our friends in the Buckinghams, the Crying Shames, the Ides of March, and so many others. Let's talk a little bit about that because another show is coming up.
Yes, that has been a real blessing. It started as a PBS soundstage production, and we all got together and did one amazing night that was all captured on a million cameras. It's been shown all across the country and in Chicago numerous times, and we've raised a ton of money for public TV, which we're very, very proud of, public media, as they call it now.
Thank you for that, because that's what we are here.
I know, man. I love it. And that's the best programming there is as far as Karen and I are concerned. Anyway, started there, and then we started doing live shows, and guess what? They were selling out in a matter of days. There was such a cache of people that love the 60s, are just hooked on the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the Shadows of Night, when Jimmy Sons comes up out there, and he's doing, you know, Shake and Oh Yeah, and of course, the national anthem of rock and roll, as he says, Gloria, and I'm not going to doubt it. I'm not going to doubt it. The place goes nuts.
Like came out my baby. You know, she come around. About 5 feet 4, all from her head to the ground. Now she come around here just about midnight. Make me feel so good. Make me feel alright. And her name is G. Around here just about midnight. She made me feel so good. I want to tell you, she made me feel alright. Comes walking down my street. Why don't you come up to my house? Knock upon my door. And then she call out my name.
Shadows of Night, Jimmy Sons on lead vocals there, and one of the bands involved in the Cornerstones project coming to the Arcata Theater tomorrow, November 25th. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat. My guest is Jim Peterick, founding member, singer, songwriter, guitarist of Ides of March, another one of the great bands on the Cornerstone show. In fact, the guy that kind of came up with it all. Jimmy, as I remember, the first time this whole thing came together was at the College of DuPage. You had put it together with a lot of the different bands. You called myself in to do some backstage interviews. Dick Biondi, Bob Surratt, they were doing the stage MC duties. And you were filming it for your The Song Remains the Same web series that was created to promote your new book, Through the Eye of the Tiger, at the time. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that where the roots of this entire Cornerstones project first began?
Well, that was the start of Cornerstones. It was. And on stage, we had Dick Biondi and Bob Surratt. So I'll never forget that night. It went over so, so well. And I know we had, you know, the Crying Shames. I know we had the Shadows. Most of the groups, actually, that we have presently. And it went over like gangbusters. I coined the phrase Cornerstones of Rock. And then when it became a WTTW program, they asked me to, you know, kind of transfer the idea to them. And I said, fine, because I know they could do so much with it in our behalf. So now the Cornerstones is actually a trademark of public radio. And I'm proud to say that, because it was something that I dreamed up. So that was the start of it. And then Ron Onesti, of course, really embraced the Cornerstones and made it even more popular by realizing the potential of the 60s market in the Chicagoland area and more, and beyond, really. So Ron was really, you know, as well as TTW, of course, and that show that was broadcast many, many times all over the country. They were so instrumental in promoting the brand, but so is Ron. And Ron has been in our corner the whole time.
Now, how has it done outside of the Midwest, the actual touring show? And how many dates on average do you think you guys have done since the beginning?
We probably, I would say, 8 shows so far, you know, since the taping. And to be honest, we haven't gone too far outside the Chicago area. The farthest we've gone is Genesee in Waukegan, and then Rockford just a couple days ago. That was the farthest we've played. And, of course, we're hoping to expand it. I can't really talk about some of the things on the possibility list, but they're quite exciting. So this summer we should be beyond Chicagoland. So I'm really excited.
Is the lineup staying the same in the performance order? Do you guys have a start and a closer, or does it rotate?
So far, we have the core exact same lineup, provided everyone stays living.
Right.
You know, that's a, you know, a factor. We've had a couple of deaths since the original Cornerstones show. We've lost Skip Haines. We lost Gary Loizzo from the original taping. And there's been a couple of health scares, you know, with Jimmy Sons and Jimmy Pilster. So it's just been really touch and go. But now everyone's healthy and everyone's good. And it's going to be, the lineup's going to be Buckingham's Ides of March, New County Six, Crying James, Shadows of Night, and Eliota, Haines, and Jeremiah. And that flag is being flown by Teddy Eliota, who's doing a great job.
And here's the song that Eliota, Haines, and Jeremiah are best known for. This one was a huge Chicagoland hit. I'm sure you'll remember it. Feel free to sing along. This one's LSD. And yeah, that stands for Lakeshore Drive.
In my hometown, Lakeshore Drive, the road is calling. It'll take you up or down, from rats on up to riches. 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way help you ride on by, and the blue lights shining with a heavenly grace help you ride on by. Like it anywhere I found, running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town, just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound. It starts up north from Hollywood, water on the driving side. Concrete mountains rearing up, throwing shadows just about five. Sometimes you can smell the green if your mind is feeling fine. There ain't no finer place to be than running Lakeshore Drive. And there's no peace of mind the place you see, riding on Lakeshore Drive. Like it anywhere I found, running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town, just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound. This Friday night and you're looking clean, the world needs to start the rounds. 10-minute ride from the Gold Coast back makes you show your pleasure bound. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning and all the people have gone away. Just you and your mind at Lakeshore Drive, and tomorrow is another day. And the sun shines fine in the morning time, tomorrow is another day. Like it anywhere I found, running
south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just sneaking on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound.
Back to the early 1970s with that one, Lakeshore Drive, just cruising on down on LSD. That is Alyota Haynes and Jeremiah. And as Jimmy said, we recently lost Skip Haynes and are dedicating that song in his memory. And talking about the Cornerstones of Rock show coming tomorrow, November 25th, to the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois, starring, among others, Ted Alyota from that group. Jim Peterick of Ides of March is my guest at this point. Coming up a little later in the show, we'll have Tom Duty of the Crying Shames, another band that's one of the Cornerstones. Jim, let's talk a little bit about another loss that Cornerstone suffered, and that, of course, was Gary Loizzo, who was the lead singer of the American Breed, best known for Bend Me, Shape Me. Since Gary passed, the guys have dropped off the tour. They aren't performing as part of the Cornerstones anymore, the remaining members, correct?
That's correct. They felt that, you know, we're going to hang up the rock and roll shoes at Gary's passing, and I think that was very, very kind of them, actually.
Shape Me Any Way You Want Me. The late, great Gary Loizzo doing time there with the American Breed. Certainly one of the biggest hits in Chicago radio back in the 1960s. One that certainly put those guys on the map and indeed made American Breed a cornerstone of Chicago rock. Sadly, Gary Loizzo passed away recently, and the group is no longer part of the Cornerstones live show. But doing that song in memory of Gary and the group, who certainly gave great performances over the years. If you just tuned in, this is Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and I'm talking with Jim Peterick, who is the founding member, lead vocalist, guitarist, keyboardist, songwriter of the Ides of March. And Jim, Cornerstones of Rock features so many other great groups. The Ides of March, the Buckinghams, the Crying Shames, the Shadows of Night, New Colony 6, Alyota Haynes and Jeremiah's Ted Alyota. One of the groups that struck me as being odd on that lineup when WTTW, PBS Television, did the original special on Cornerstones of Rock was the Standells. They really aren't a Chicago-based band.
Right, and that goes for the McCoys, Rick Derringer as well.
True.
Those were add-ons mainly to secure a bit of a more of a national following. Joe and the people at PBS thought it would be a couple of bands that fit in the genre, not necessarily in the area, would add to the curb appeal. So that's how that happened.
The McCoys were like on the border of Ohio and Indiana. We kind of claim them here in Indiana, and Ohio claims them as well. So
yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. At Standells, you think of the West Coast, even though they say Boston is my home.
Right. What was the response like when you first called everybody, before TTW got involved, before Ron Onesti got involved, and you called the guys and says, hey, I got this idea. I'm doing this cable web thing, and I want to get everybody together to do the show. And, you know, I mean, you called all these guys. Was there any trepidation? Like, are you crazy, Jim? Why would we want to do that?
Oh, my God. Quite the opposite. They were like kids in the candy store. Oh, my God, let's do this. Let's do this. I felt like, you know, the guy charging the troops up the mountain. Everyone was so into it. But, yeah, everybody was super excited.
Well, let's go back to 1967 right now, a song from a group that I had the pleasure of working with back in the 1980s as part of the management booking team, for a short while anyway. Old friends of mine, old friends of yours, and certainly Chicago cornerstones of rock. I'm talking about the Buckinghams. More with Jim Peterick on the other side.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen.
It's a classic from the Buckinghams, taking you back to the year 1967, and a song that, well, kind of sums it up. If you miss this show tomorrow at the Arcata Theater, it would truly be kind of a drag. Arcata Theater, St. Charles, Illinois. I'm talking about the Cornerstone Show featuring the Buckinghams, the Ides of March, the New Colony 6, Shadows of Night, and so many other great groups that we're talking about and featuring tonight, including Crying Shames. I've got Tom Duty, lead singer and founding member of the Crying Shames, joining me a little later in the show. But right now, I'm talking with Jim Peterick, founding member, lead singer, songwriter, guitarist of Ides of March, and the guy that came up with the concept for Cornerstones. You know, Jim, all these groups have so many hits between them, but one of my personal favorites from the Chicagoland scene back in the day has to be Ronnie Rice, doing time at New Colony 6. He was one of the great singer-songwriters of the era, and I remember interviewing him during that College of DuPage show, and he was talking about how Dick Biondi was the guy that got him his big break, and of course, he's got a lot of different singles that he's written that were hits, and who's still left in New Colony 6 besides Ronnie? And what are some of the songs they're doing?
Ronnie Rice and Ray Graffia and the New Colony 6, they come out and do I Love You So Much, or I Will Always Think About You.
In the New Colony 6, I Will Always Think About You. Great song there from another cornerstone of Chicago rock. Jim Peterick is my guest. We are talking about the Cornerstone Show coming to the Arcata Theater in St. Charles tomorrow on November 25th.
Yep, the wonderful, beautiful Arcata Theater. We're just really excited. We just played a great show in Rockford. It was just a tremendous show, and it was a sellout, and that was like 2,300 seats. That was just a good omen for what's to come, and of course, now we're tighter than a drum for the Arcata.
Now, you've played Arcata before. Has that show sold out as well?
Oh, my God. It's just how fast it sells out is the only contest. Yeah, this sells out every time and extremely quickly. Chicagoland has a big appetite for this, and we're so happy.
Well, Jim, let's slip in another Ides of March song. How about taking it back to some of the pre-vehicle years, the early acoustic sound of the Core 4, as I like to call them, of the Ides. This is one of my favorites in your catalog, L.A. Goodbye. Final time with Jim Peterick on the other side as we continue on Midwest Beats.
Oh, well, my wavelength gets a little longer every time I wave goodbye. Sentimental breakdown, you know I break down in life. Supposed to lie, my head always seen my softest pillow. And as I board my plane, something inside my brain needs to wave LA goodbye.
Sometimes sunny Sunset Strip, and I feel trip over to your highway. Sunset Princess beckons, and we love the night away. And now I feel like years away from the west side of Chicago.
And as I board my plane, something inside my brain needs to wave LA goodbye.
LA, goodbye. LA, I won't see you around now. LA, goodbye. I can't see you, the tear in my eye now. LA, goodbye. LA, I'm gonna stop to cry.
Ides of March, going back to the late 1960s there. And LA, goodbye, a song written on an airplane coming back to Chicago from Los Angeles. Jim, it's really no surprise that the Cornerstone show has done so well. You mentioned selling out most of the venues that you've played so far. And I think the reason is so many people just grew up with all of this great music. Not only the Ides and the Buckinghams, but also the Crying James, the Shadows of Night, the American Breed, Aliota Haynes and Jeremiah, all these different groups that are on this bill. I mean, it's just a nonstop show of hits back to back.
Well, that's true. And when we're sitting at the merch table, the thing we hear more and more is, you made me feel young again. You recaptured that moment when I was 18 and going to, you know, Brother Rice High School dances or the Blue Village, or we recapture that and people are floating. It's just such a fun thing.
Now, tell me how Ron Onesti got involved. I mean, he's been around for a long time, but all of a sudden he has become quite the power player as far as tours and the Arcata, and he's expanded into so many other different venues now. The guy is a mover and a shaker, just like you. So it's a natural thing that the two of you teamed up. How did that relationship start?
Well, it started so many years ago, and he would give us shows, you know, the Ides of March. A lot of the suburban shows were Ron Onesti, and we always just got along with him, and we liked him. Because he had the spirit, you know, and
he's a hustler.
We always believed in him, you know, and certain people were naysayers. Oh, you know, he won't make it. Well, guess what? He made it. And I think the real turning point was when the Arcata became his venue. Then he could do what he loves to do, bring in bands, some bands that it seems like time forgot, but he remembered, and he filled houses with people that, you know, a lot of people thought they were dead. And these
right.
people are coming back and doing great concerts because he believes if once a rock star, always a rock star. And that's why I love Ron Onesti. And now he's got multiple venues, multiple shows. He's got the Chicago Music Hall of Fame that's ready to be rolled out, and very exciting.
Is there a website for the Cornerstones project?
You know, I'm not sure. I hate to say this on the air, but I'm not sure. I think, you know, there probably is, but usually it's just linked to our individual websites and we tell the news that way.
One of the groups on the Cornerstones of Rock project are the Crying Shames. And Tom Duty, lead singer of the Crying Shames and the founding member, is going to be joining me shortly here on today's program. I remember you telling me a number of times that Tom Duty was one of the guys that you admired so much from the Chicago music scene. Tell me why that was.
He's one of the great voices. I always tried to get the vibrato in my voice like Tom Duty. Now I can't get rid of it.
All right. Well, this is going to be a great show. November 25th, Arcata Theater, St. Charles. Get online at jimpeterick.com, and I'm sure you can find a link somewhere to that great show.
Oh, yeah, or the arcata.com, even better. That would be great.
All right. Thanks, Jim, for joining us and talking about Cornerstones.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Tom, for giving me the time. You rock.
My thanks to Jim Peterick of the Ides of March. I'm Tom Lounges, and this is Midwest Beat, and you're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. Well, the one group we haven't played yet on the Cornerstones lineup is the Crying Shames, and I've been holding back because coming up in just a few minutes, lead singer, founding member Tom Duty will be talking to us. Let's lead into that with one of their songs. This one's called I Wanna Meet You. It's the Crying Shames. Tom Duty joins us next as Midwest Beat continues.
I first saw you in a magazine. I wanna meet you.
Well, that's the Crying Shames, another one of those cornerstone bands here in Chicagoland, and I want to meet you. I'm Tom Lounges, and this is Midwest Beat, and right now we're going to meet Tom Duty. Tom is one of the founding members and lead vocalist of the Crying Shames that gave us that song and so many others. We'll be hearing a few more of those hits in just a few minutes, but Tom Duty, are you there?
Tom, how are you?
Doing just fine, Tom, and it's a pleasure to talk to you once again. Tom, for the younger listeners that are tuned in today that may not be all that familiar with the Crying Shames, give me a little history on the band. You guys came about around the same time the Buckinghams and the Ides of March did. In fact, the three of you were kind of like friendly rivals. Tell us a little bit about the background of the Crying Shames.
If you take a look at the timing on it, it was the New Colony 6, The Shadows, and then Ides of March came out with their first song, and then we came out with ours, all within about a 2 or 3 month period of time.
Wow.
Now, one of the things that was interesting about the Crying Shames is that you guys had some of your biggest hits with covers of bands from England.
Yeah. Well, you know, all of the groups were very, very influenced by the British invasion. We probably more than others. And our first single was going to be If I Needed Someone by the Beatles. And we weren't allowed to do that because George Harrison had a hold on it. He wanted to release it himself. So with that in mind, we went in and did another song, which we actually found the day before we recorded it. It was called Sugar and Spice by the Searchers. And we learned it the day before, changed the melody a lot. Our record does not sound like theirs. Theirs kind of is like a dirge, and ours is a very upbeat, happy thing with 12-string guitar, which we put in because we were huge Birds fans. We learned it the day before. We went into sound studios the next day, recorded the whole thing, the A-side and the B-side, in about an hour. And when we were packing up to leave, we got on... Sound Studios is right on Michigan Avenue. When we packed up to leave, we turned on our radio, and one of our managers had brought an acetate up to WLS, which was in the same building. And Dex Card was on the radio, and he said, "This is a song you're going to be hearing a lot from a group I discovered. It's called Sugar and Spice." I mean, literally 15 minutes after we left the studio, they were playing it, and even before we hit Congress Street. And it was just amazing. We left there and went to LaGrange, where we used to hang out at a place called Big Boy Restaurant, Pop's Big Boy. And we ran into the restaurant, and we said, "Hey, we recorded the song." And they said, and some of our friends said, "Yeah, we know. We heard it." And another friend of ours came running in from the parking lot and said, "They're playing it." He had his radio on full blast. The whole restaurant, about 150 people, just bailed out, got to their cars, turned on the record, and we were all dancing in the parking lot. I mean, it was just an amazing thing.
Wow, that reminds me of that scene in That Thing You Do. I don't know if you've seen that movie or
well,
not.
You know what? I was going to say that. That movie was amazing in that it captured so much of what all of us had gone through. You know, not anyone specifically, but I think, we heard the record like that. It was amazing. And, you know, the other things on tour and the tour buses and all those, it was a very accurate depiction of what the business was like at that time.
Sugar and spice and all things nice, kisses sweeter than wine. Sugar and spice and all things nice, you know that little girl is mine. Everybody stops and stares at my baby.
sugar and spice and all things nice. He says sweeter than wine, sugar and spice and all things nice. You know that little girl is mine.
Raise your hand if you remember that one. Sugar and Spice and All Things Nice. That is the Crying Shames version, not the Searchers version. And that was the one that was a big hit throughout the Midwest and all across America. It put the Crying Shames on the map, as they say. My guest is Tom Duty, founding member and lead vocalist of the Crying Shames. They're part of the Cornerstone Show that'll be at the Arcata Theater tomorrow, November 25th in St. Charles, Illinois. Tom, that song, for all practical purposes, put you guys on the map and really broke the band big. In fact, it got you your national deal with Columbia Records, correct?
Yeah, actually, it hit so well that they weren't able to press enough records to keep up with the demand. I think it made it top 40 or something like that on Billboard, but it could have gone much higher if we could have pressed the records to keep up with the demand. And Columbia heard it and they liked it, and our manager said, hey, these guys can lose more records than we can even press, so let's go ahead and sign with them. And we did. I think for us, well, of course, the Byrds, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Simon and Garfunkel were before them, and I think we were either the third or the fourth rock group to sign with Columbia.
Because at that time, wasn't Mitch Miller still in charge? And he didn't like rock and roll.
Yeah, I can tell you a good story about that. No, he didn't like rock and roll. He hated it. He absolutely detested it. We were in recording our first song for Columbia, which was Mr. Unreliable. And we were in the, their broadcast center and recording studios downtown on 52nd and 2nd, I think it was. But when the guys were doing the tracks, I used to wander around the building, and I wandered downstairs. And I saw Sly and the Family Stone, and I went into their studio, which you would be knocked over with the smell of smoke coming out of there. But I went downstairs. And Arthur Godfrey had his radio broadcast studio there, and I was going by it, and I almost ran him over. It was Mitch Miller. And he looked at me, and he said, you're in one of the new rock and roll bands, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm in a group called the Crying Shames. He said, well, even if I don't like rock and roll, which I don't, you've got a bubbly voice. And then he left.
Wow. Well, that's quite the compliment, because he didn't like anybody.
No, he hated everybody. He got me a couple of commercials from that, though, so it was a good thing that I bumped into him.
Now, you guys had a hit with We Could Be Happy, which, as I recall, wasn't released as a single originally. Is that correct?
Yeah, We Could Be Happy was a song that we put on our first album, which we had to do in a day and a half. I think we took 17 hours for it. And when we recorded it, I really liked it a lot, and I pushed for that to be a single. And who was it? Clark Weber. We brought that in I Want to Meet You up to him, and he said, nope, the single's I Want to Meet You. But I always felt that We Could Be Happy would be a hit, and I also thought we made a mistake putting Ben Franklin's Almanac on the back of Sugar and Spice. I thought that could have been a single release, too. It was a great song. If you have Sugar and Spice album, put it on. You'll hear it. It's a real rave-up type of a song. Just a lot of harmony, a lot of dynamism. It still sounds like a single.
Bye.
Ben Franklin's Almanac. That's a song from The Crying Shames. Not one I remember, actually, Tom. But you're right, I think it did have some strong single potential. Certainly a good tune. If you just tuned in, this is Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. My guest right now is Tom Duty, founding member, lead singer of The Crying Shames. Crying Shames are part of the Cornerstones of Rock show coming to Arcata Theater in St. Charles tomorrow, November 25th. Along with The Crying Shames, rounding out that show will be the Ides of March, the Buckinghams, New Colony 6, Ted Aliotta of Aliotta, Haynes, and Jeremiah, and The Shadows of Night. Tom, jumping back to that other song I was talking about, You Could Be Happy, I remember that getting a lot of airplay here in Chicago. Was that, in fact, a single release? It seemed to do very well.
We Could Be Happy was never released as a single. It was put on the flip side of I Want to Meet You. We got a lot of airplay on it, believe it or not, throughout the country. We had I Want to Meet You on one side, and We Could Be Happy on the other. And it was still at a time where they used to have A and B singles. You know, back from the Dick Clark era, you would get two-sided singles. But I Want to Meet You was the one that was pushed as a single and did pretty well. I think We Could Be Happy would have done equally well.
Well, Tom, I'd have to agree with you again. That's a song I remember hearing on the radio here in Chicagoland, and it became a favorite of mine from your catalog, even if it wasn't an official single. So let's play it now for the listeners here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. I'll have Tom Duty back after this.
Personal favorite of mine from the Crying Shames catalog. Hope you enjoyed it. Called We Could Be Happy. It was the flip side, as they say, the B-side of I Want to Meet You, which we opened the show with earlier. And even though it wasn't an official single, I enjoyed it and hope you did too. Tom Duty, the founding member, lead vocalist of the Crying Shames, is my guest. They're one of many bands at the Cornerstones of Chicago Rock Concert. That'll be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, a Ron Onesti production. Tom, we know that the Ides of March, who you are playing with and are good friends with on this show, are from Berwyn, Illinois. Where exactly did the Crying Shames hail from back in the day?
Well, we were just west of them. We had guys from LaGrange. Actually, we started the group at LaGrange Junior College. Jerry and Pilster were from Hinsdale. I was from Westmont, and Denny and James Ferris were from Downers Grove. So it was just kind of further down the Burlington tracks.
Now, were you guys in those local sock hop battles that Carl Giammarisi of the Buckinghams have told me about?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we met the Ides of March when they were 15 at a Battle of the Bands in LaGrange. They were called Batman and the Boy Wonders, and we both played. Usually when we went to Battle of the Bands, we would just wipe it up, always win. When we went to this one and they went on before us, I was thinking, wow, you know, we might have problems with this. But we did win. There were three disc jockeys there, I think. Officer Vic, you remember him?
Mm-mm.
From WLS?
Don't remember him.
He was one of them. Clark Weber was another. And there was his female producer, who I just flirted like crazy with. So I heard Clark Weber and the producer to vote for us, and Officer Vic voted for Batman and the Boy Wonders.
Were you guys already Crying Shames or the Travelers still?
We were still the Travelers.
Okay.
No, the Travelers.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to tell you how we came about the name.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it was all at the same time when we were getting ready to record. And when we were going in to record If I Needed Someone, which we thought was going to be the hit, we knew we had to change our name because there was a group, the Travelers from England or whatever, that you know, had put out a song, so we couldn't use that. And we took longer to do this than we did to find and record Sugar and Spice. We ended up in Jim Pilster's basement after a couple days, I mean, of writing down thousands of names and combinations. And Pilster was just sitting on the downstairs steps in his basement, and he just hit his hand to his head, and he said, "Man, it's a crying shame we haven't come up with something." And we just all looked at each other, you know, the eureka moment.
Mm-hmm.
We were the Crying Shames from then on.
Wow. That was always a catchy name. I never knew that story, so thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And thank you for saying it was a catchy name. It was just, you know, one of those strokes of lightning that hits you.
Now, you guys did something that a lot of the other guys didn't. And well, the Ides, of course, embraced the brass sound, but you guys embraced a little bit of the psychedelic sound when that became in vogue. And did it work for you? Did it not work for you? Because I don't think you lasted too much longer than that.
We were always a good, you know, live act. We became a great live act with all of the work we did. I really mean it. There was nobody that would be able to go on stage after us and feel comfortable. And if they went on stage before us, the people would forget them. We were that dynamic live. I mean, we had concerts with the Birds and the Monkees and all that stuff, and that was the last time we played with them because they didn't want to share the stage with us anymore. The only group that did was the Love and Spoonful because they were so different, and, you know, nothing intimidated them anyhow. They were just wonderful guys.
But, right.
I can remember we were playing in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and, you know, Del Shannon played with us. We played with him. He was just a great guy. And he said, "You guys are going to have trouble." We said, "Why?" He said, "You're too damn good." He said, "There's nobody going to want to play with you." I mean, we really, I don't know if you saw us back in our heyday, but we really, really, really worked hard and endeavored to be a great stage act. And we took that energy and put it into our Scratch in the Sky album. We really thought this was going to put us over the top and that Could Be We're in Love was going to be a massive hit. Well, when Could Be We're in Love came out, I mean, it sold like 104,000 copies in Chicago in a couple of months. I mean, that's quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they called Chicago a 10% community, which meant if you did a certain number there, that should be 10% of the total you saw. But what happened at that time is that Columbia looked at it and they had a big budget set to promote it, and then they decided, no, the Chicago sound is something that's fading. What we want to do is we want to get in on the San Francisco sound. So they had a group, Moby Grape, who's a real good group, and instead of using the money that they had set aside for us, they put it all in the Moby Grape, and they put out 7 singles at once and put all kinds of time and effort into it, and all those singles flopped.
Right.
I saw Skip Spence from Moby Grape after that, and we kind of laughed. We said, "Yeah, they took that money and ruined 2 groups." Yeah, to get back to the psychedelic thing.
Yeah.
When that just didn't take off and we really thought it was going to be, you know, a skyrocket, we were disheartened. Fares left. That kind of took some of the wind out of our sails. The rest of us were just, like I said, disheartened. And we just stayed together another year and broke up. So we really didn't have a chance to test that part of it. I wish we would have, because songs like Sailing Ship could have done very well.
Sailing, my
could be We're in Love did really well in Chicago. Up on the Roof is like a trademark for you guys, and your voice is so perfect for that song. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'll tell you on Up on the Roof, let me tell you a story about it. We had a road manager, Bill Alonji, who was with us till the end. And after we broke up, he wanted to play the hippie role. So he moved out to New York. I think he was living on Yazger's farm. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And he had four or five guys that lived with him. And after 4 or 5 months, he couldn't take it anymore. He wanted to come back to Chicago and get home cooking. So, but he made some good friends there. One of the guys' name was Charlie. He was a bass player. And they kept in touch and kept in touch. And about a year after that, Bill got an invitation in the mail. And it was to Charlie's wedding. Now, I don't know if it happened in New York or it happened in Idaho. I don't know, but it was one of those two locations. And Bill went to it, and Charlie introduced him to his bride, Carol King.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was her second, third, or fourth husband, or whatever it was. And Charlie introduced Bill and told him, you know, he was the road manager for the Crying Shames. And she said, "The Crying Shames, I've got a treat for you. Stay around." So, you know, they're going through the wedding, and they did their first wedding dance, right? And it was to our version of Up on the Roof.
Wow.
Is that cool or what?
That's very cool. You guys, like I said, of all the different versions I've heard over the years, I mean, you guys have the pinnacle one. I mean, that is the one that I think of when I think of that song.
Well, thank you. I think Carol's pretty fond of it, too.
When this old starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb right up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space.
When I come home feeling tired and beat, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I get away from the hustle and crowd and all the rat race noise down in the street. Up on the roof.
spending some time up on the roof with Tom Duty and the Crying Shames. Tom has been my guest this afternoon here on Midwest Beat. He'll be part of the Cornerstones of Rock show happening tomorrow, November 25th, at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. We're just about out of time. Tom, I know that you're still in the group, and so is J.C. Hook, Jim Pilster of the Crying Shames, another founding member. Who else, if anyone from the original lineup, is still in the band?
Right. Jim Ferris was in it, but he has opted out. So, you know, life goes on. You've got to do other things, and he had to do that. But Jim Pilster and I, and then we have, the Ides of March back us up. Not too bad a backup band, by the way.
Right.
And they sing, you know, really great. And that's really what the Crying Shames was, you know, great songs and great vocals. So it comes off very well in concert.
How many songs on average does each group get?
We all get 5 songs.
Okay.
And the whole idea is that we want to make them as close to the original recordings as possible. When we go in there, it's with the whole idea. My mindset is that when these people walk through the doors, we want to bring them back to their childhood. Mm-hmm. And I think the Cornerstones has been successful. We basically sold out every place that we've been, you know, so a lot of people are buying into that, and it's getting better and better. I mean, the last concert, you talked to Jim, I'm sure he told you it was phenomenal. It really was. It was breathtaking.
Oh, the Rockford show? Yeah, he said it was like sold out. So
it was. It was, you know, 2,000 seats. Think of that. You know, on a cold and windy, what was it, last Saturday?
Yeah.
I think. And there are 2,000 seats sold out with people our age, you know, basically 50 to 75. And not only sold out, loving it. We had a line that we were in for about an hour and a half afterwards, signing autographs. And there was also another line just outside that, just going by to, you know, get a look at everybody. And everybody that went by, whether they were just to get a look or to have the autograph signed, every one of them said, "Thank you guys so much for being there." And, you know, they're the ones that need to be thanked. They're the ones that showed up.
Right.
And it's just amazing. I don't know how long Cornerstones will go on, but I hope it goes on for a few more years.
Well, that's Tom Duty of the Crying Shames, one of the Chicago Cornerstone bands, as I wrap up this segment of today's show. Thank you, Tom, for giving me so much of your time this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Didn't it seem right to walk along the sand last night and to gaze out at the night through your window? Just the way things are can be reflected in a star, and you don't stop to think it could be that we're in love. Could be we're in
two, ba da ba ba da. Hey, well, I'm the friendly stranger in the black sedan. Won't you hop inside my car? I got tickets, candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest stop. Hey, this is Jim Peterick of the Ides of March, and you are reliving the glory days of Region Radio. Great God in heaven, you know we love you. Ba-da-ba-ba-da.